Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins take on the Lightning game two tonight in Tampa. Patrice Bergeron and the team has a little method they're doing there for moving the puck in the transition game. Patrice?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've made some adjustments this year to try to be better in our transition game and maybe create more offense that way. I think when defensemen are moving the puck in their feet a lot more, and it kind of helps us not spend too much time in our zone and kind of creates some odd man rushes to bite them and join them in the attack.
A quicker breakout, a little movement through the neutral zone. All of it happening tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Judd Sirott and Bob Beers on the call starting 6:30. Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show. Celtics also in action tonight. Game one against the 76ers in their best of seven. It was, by the way, Coach Bruce Cassidy says David Krejci and Kevin Miller looking good in the morning skate and should be able to play tonight. Okay, back over to the Celtics. Jaylen Brown, don't know yet. Coach Brad Stevens saying not his decision. See how he feels after the shoot-around this morning. They'll know a little bit more as the day goes on about Jaylen Brown's availability. He left Game 7 against the Bucks on Saturday night with an apparent hamstring issue. We'll get the latest from Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell on the call of the game on 100.7. WZLX. Red Sox homestand continues tonight. Royals are in town. Eduardo Rodriguez to the mound opposite Jason Hamill. Headlines are brought to you by South Shore Bank, the bank more people count on for their mortgage, business, and all financial needs. SouthShoreBank.com, member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Miss Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, well.
Or Felger and Maz.
That is an insult.
Listen to the podcasts on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. They work.
Arr, matey.
While you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The second time Tennessee jumped ahead of you guys. Is there any significance at all to that?
Maybe Karen can talk to Mike about it. I don't know. But no significance at all. So, I mean, every team's just moving up and down. So John and Mike do what's best for their football team, and you know, we try to do what's best for our football team. So we got a lot of respect for John and Mike and what they do. So, I mean, they've done a great job. So, I mean, you know, hats off to them.
That's Nick Caserio talking about the Titans jumping up ahead of the Patriots on a number of occasions. What's the connection between Karen and Mike Vrabel? Was he a source for the Boston Herald of some sort? Is that a known thing? Probably not.
Maybe Karen can talk to Mike about
What's
it.
What's that all about? Anyway, Zoe, your thoughts on the Patriots draft. Sum it up.
I mean, the only guy that you really understand and know in it was Sony Michel. I mean, that's a household type name. The more stuff that I watch on Isaiah Wynn, he's pretty damn good. Like, meaning he's strong. He's something that is more relatable to a Logan Mankins type player than it is a Nate Solder player, which tells me he's kind of that swing guard but could play. And Mankins could play tackle in a pinch. Remember when Solder or somebody would go down or Vollmer? They would slide him outside. They did it down in Miami. He played pretty damn well out there. I just think that first round they took best available at that position. If one of those tackles, whether the kid from UCLA or Notre Dame, you know, that Ursae was talking about, fell. It's funny that Notre Dame didn't have a better year than they did with the type of lineman they had going early in this draft. Good God. Their guard and their tackle went high. I think it's a solid draft. I mean, I don't think they had a ton of holes. I wanted them to go balls out on defense at the top of this draft. I wanted them to trade up and get, like, Chandler Jones-type players. But then you saw what it took to get Davenport by the Saints. And that told you everything you needed to know right there. They're tapping up. They ain't making those type of moves. They're not. The quarterback, I know. Slot receiver's got a chance here. Berrios, he's got a pretty good chance because he's going to get opportunities. It's interesting, too. That guy's valedictorian of the business school at Miami. Graduated in 3 years. Smart SOB. Typical Patriot. Yeah. Draft a smart slot receiver. high production.
What round was he taken in?
Was he
six?
210th
pick.
Yep.
If you're spending that much time talking about the 210th pick,
I'm telling you about
it's because it was lacking in the middle rounds.
Well, what about the corner from Florida? He's supposed to be a good slot corner. Seems like they went for like
needs
starters and like a couple of starting positions.
Were they weak? Nickel, right? They're weak in their nickel packages up front in the slot. So they tried to draft a guy to address that. Are they drafting a Mike or are they drafting a guy you can flex outside or can he move a little bit? This kid from Vandy. I never heard of him. I'm being honest here. I'm just telling you about the guys I heard of or that I know that I knew of.
From Vandy, Purdue, the guy from the linebacker?
Sorry. Yeah, Purdue. Okay. Vandy was last year. But
they traded out of 43 to 51. Then they traded out of 51 to go to pick up another pick at 117 and 105 and a second rounder next year. And it just felt like all the excitement we had going into this thing about them having five picks didn't hold up. It didn't hold up because they were trading down. I'm glad they used their first two first round picks. I'm happy about that. That's good.
I think the high end top defensive talent went in the first 18 picks, and I think everything started to swing towards offense when they became available on the board. And you had to give up too much collateral to slide up to get that. I think some of those teams. I thought the Saints panicked. That's a kid that played 1 year. I know he's got great upside. They're talking about Davenport and did Belichick. We say, why did he do this pre-draft press conference? Remember he started complimenting all the local programs? D'Azio, and he's done a great job at Boston College. And was it to get the point out there that, hey, we like Landry, or we like what they're doing there? Now all of a sudden, are they getting a chuckle about the amount of times the Titans tried to jump him? Like, we're in their head.
And then there's also the pick that I mentioned, 43, that was in the Jimmy Garoppolo deal.
Yep.
So if you want to try and figure this out, what did they get for Garoppolo? Nora Princiotti? Boston Globe has this. Patriots had number 43 for Garoppolo. New England flipped that pick as one of its eight draft day trades this year, sending it to the Lions for picks 51 and 117, a later second rounder and a fourth rounder. That fourth rounder was cashed in as part of the draft capital it took to move back up and take corner Duke Dawson. We got to get to the our lines on Duke Dawson today, too. The Patriots gave up number 63 and 117 to move up to 56. That's where they took Dawson. Then they traded the other pick they got in the trade with Detroit. That was 51 to the Bears for picks 105 and a 2019 second rounder. Ooh. Then they traded 105 to Cleveland for 114 and 178. Then they used 178 to get Christian Sam. That's our linebacker. 178.
And time I hear that, I think of Michael Sam. Every time I hear his name, I don't know why it kicks me to Michael Sam, but go ahead.
And traded 114 to the Lions for Detroit's 2019 third rounder. And so here's the summary. As of now, the trade return for Garoppolo looks like this. Second and third round picks in 2019, Sam, and about 25% of what it took to get Dawson. The other way to look at it is this. They gave up Garoppolo in pick number 63. To get a 2019 second, third, Dawson, and Sam. You can look at it however you like. The one saving grace of all the trading down there, I think, is that Bears second round pick next year.
Yeah.
The Bears suck.
It's going to be a pretty decent,
they're not going to be good, right? The Bears aren't going to be any good. That should be a top of the first, top half of the whatever, sure. The second round.
Vikings.
There you go.
Hey, Detroit, I think, will be better. Vikings. And Green Bay should run away with that division. Bears will be in the bottom of that division again.
So the Bears will have a bad record, and the Bears, in theory, will be giving the Patriots another...
You might be picking at like 38, 39.
You could. That could end up being a better second-round pick a year from now, and you got a bunch of other crap along the way.
And here we go again. You're going to have your pick sitting there to, 30, 31, 32. Package that with the other one, and we're going to be talking about moving up next year, and they won't. They'll trade back and keep building for the future. Here we go again. Boy, right back in the
spot. A lot of trading back. They love to do it. They love to trade back.
Sexy. They love it. Moving around. Let's do draft. I heard they did as much as 25 different mock drafts last week. Just leading up to it, having fun, moving guys around. Here's what's going to happen. What do you make of McDaniels in the draft room? The war room. All 3 days, every time the video is posted. McDaniels right there. He's been there, P4.
Has he been there before?
Casario's alluded to it, talked about it. I think it was on Friday's presser, or one of the rounds in between rounds. Said, yeah, Josh has been there before. It's not a new deal with us here. But it seems like, you know, he's kind of sitting shotgun there. And it's Bill's neck attorney, and there's Josh right there.
Oh, he's showing him his world.
Right.
As they like to say. 617-779-0985. Your thoughts on the Patriots draft. Your thoughts on the Bruins from over the weekend and the Celtics as well. Both of those teams getting ready to play games tonight. Jaylen Brown could possibly play for the Celtics. We'll get to both of those teams. More of your calls after this.
Sola and Bertrand. Midday on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Not gotten any updates. Other than he walked in and told me he felt better this morning. I don't know what that means.
Okay. At this point, Brett, is your plan sticking to with him not playing? That
I'm not the decision maker on that. So if they'll tell me if he's able to play, and then we'll go from there. He'll go through whatever he can and shoot around, and then if he can play, he'll play.
Brad Stevens on Jaylen Brown earlier today. Feels like a bit of a smokescreen. I don't know how you guys feel about this.
They in a position to throw up smokescreens right now?
Sure, why not? Was there ever a bad time to throw up the old smokescreen? I mean, Brad Stevens is saying, I'm not part of that decision. Well, if they tell you he's cleared, you can still decide to hold him out.
Maybe he got in touch with Paul Pierce's doctor. I don't know, did a little bit. Well, Mr. Miyagi on him, you know, like couldn't walk, had to carry him off. I mean, the way he didn't even want to put any pressure on the one foot. Tells you it's like a high hamstring. Oh, that one's up there. That smarts. Now all of a sudden he feels good. He's going to go through shoot and run. If he can play, he's going to play. Brad has always erred on the side of caution. Now all of a sudden it's, hey, full in. See how it goes. He's just not giving you anything. I'm with you on that. A little smokescreen.
Yeah, it feels like a little bit of a smokescreen.
That's not a Stevens-like answer, which tells me smokescreen.
My guess is he doesn't play.
I don't think Brad expects him to
guess.
Play. God, if they get through game one and win it without him. Like, that's the first series. It's going back to that series. There's your Brad Stevens series, your first official. You know what? They won a series because of the coach and the coach alone. I think it's a smokescreen. Do not expect him to even take the court tonight.
Game one against the 76ers is tonight. And a lot of people have made this out to be like the preview of the next
future.
Few years
yeah, the next
in the Eastern
10 years.
Conference, right? Mm. People really want to play up that storyline. Yeah. Can we stop doing that?
Why?
Because this isn't the Celtics team that'll be playing over the next few years.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Celtics team is built to play.
Yeah, but
against
you get a chance to build some hate for the other team.
Oh, absolutely. But that doesn't preview anything.
That's not an even matchup. It's just these teams are going to battle each other. You're going to want to hate people. You're going to hate some guys in the Sixers at the end of the series.
Great.
It's going to be great for next season.
Terrific.
Then you smack them.
But that doesn't mean it's a preview of things to come. Or this is the start of it. Like what?
Preview of things to come is you versus Cleveland.
How about we put, I'm not even sure about that.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Let's put
I'm
Kyrie,
glad LeBron won, though.
Gordon Hayward back in the lineup, and then we'll talk about a preview. And the preview would be the Celtics kicking Philadelphia's ass. That's what that would be. Let's stop with all this preview talk. It's not a preview of anything. This isn't what it's going to look like next season, next year at this time. No, unless there's the same injuries again. I'm not looking at this like, oh, this will tell you how things are going to look in the Eastern Conference for the next few years. Hell no. Not at all.
No, that's what I said at the beginning of the postseason. The Celtics team, it's not a knock on the organization or what they've done. The team that's out there for the first round against the Bucks and the team that will be out there tonight for the first game against the Sixers, this isn't the Celtics team. It's what they're left with. It's what they can put out on the floor. This ain't the movie that we all bought the ticket to last fall. It's supposed to be Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving and everybody out there.
Yeah,
this is gravy, man.
This is gravy.
Al Horford's not supposed to be out there winning you basketball games in game sevens in
the first round.
Yeah. No, it's Kyrie.
You're not supposed to be going seven games with the Bucks in the first round.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
This is not the Celtics team that will be the team for the next few years.
It
just isn't.
Which makes it all the more impressive and in some ways a little more compelling, I guess.
Because if they just rolled over the Bucks in four games with Kyrie and Gordon Hayward out there, that's not a lot of entertainment value there. But I don't think I'm with you, Beatles. It doesn't tell anything about what's going to happen next year.
Okay, based on what you know about the direction of these two franchises, though, this I will grant you. These should be the best two teams in the Eastern Conference over the next few years. They should be. I think LeBron is going to end up leaving Cleveland. I think he's going to leave. I think he's probably going to the Lakers.
Are you glad they won? And at or some did you point, want to see Indiana win?
And at some point, even if he doesn't leave, they needed seven. And they needed a Herculean effort from LeBron James to win that seventh game. Now, it's still there, and that's still a thing, which is why I won't count him out until he shows me otherwise.
Don't you want them, though? Don't you want to get there to where, you know, this team, as it's constituted, led by
Al Horford? It would have been nice to have Gordon Hayward and or even just Kyrie out there to take it to LeBron this season and beat him when he's still capable of doing what he did last night? 45 points, you know? He's still that guy. He's still the best player in the world. It would have been great to see take him down. But
what if they get there, though? What if they get there and face Cleveland? And that would be awesome.
Oh, my God.
LeBron
to see
versus
this team.
Brad. Brad Stevens, house money, man. Talk about no pressure. To see that guy with all the pressure in the world.
Phenomenal.
LeBron, you get eliminated by a depleted Celtic team. Oh. With your former teammate who's hurt?
Can't even imagine how awesome it would be. Not going to happen. Wouldn't happen.
I'm rooting for that.
I would love to see it.
Rooting for Cleveland when they're down there. Because I want them to advance. And in the back of my mind, I'm hoping the Celtics advance.
I would love to see it, though, just so they could take two games and make LeBron
sweat.
Work that much harder before he gets to another NBA Finals.
617-779-0985. Dan is in Rentham. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how are you?
Hey.
Good, what's up?
Hey, you know what? I have a question. I caught the end of your conversation about the Tampa Bay Lightning's organization, or is it the arena owner, saying that they won't allow opposing team jerseys?
Okay, the Tampa Bay Lightning do not want fans in premium seats wearing the apparel of an opposing team. That is the rule.
Why is that?
Because they don't like it. Someone doesn't like it, you know, and they complain.
They probably don't want big series. They don't want to show it on TV that they got people in the building from the other team. More interested in it. Tampa.
But isn't it in the best interest of the NHL to have, like, as far as, like, merchandising?
You think the merchandising sales are going down because they don't allow them in the premium seating?
I don't think it has anything to do with merch.
Well, you know what? I think...
How about just in the spirit of the game? In the spirit of sports and competition, you don't start banning people from wearing the opposing team's jersey or shirt. Give me a break.
Patriots should do that for the playoffs.
What are you doing? In the spirit of, this is sports, this is not real life, this is entertainment, we're all here to have fun, we're all here to root for our teams, maybe we, get on one another about it.
Rentham calls are good.
Is that the point of being here?
Good calls from Rentham.
Is that why we're doing this? Yeah, that's your guy.
Probably at the gavel already hammered.
That's not that. You don't know that.
Just would be shocked.
Oh, God.
Mike is in Boston. Mike.
Mikey!
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's good. Up?
Guys, I wanted to talk a little bit about Yawkey Way being renamed.
About what?
Always a fun topic.
Yawkey
yes.
Way being renamed.
Oh. Well, first, what do you want to talk about?
Just give me a chance. First off, I don't think that John Henry's really the guy to be the moral police, giving, he's married to a woman 30 years, yet he's younger, and it's his third wife. But anyway, on the subject of Yawkey Way, I mean, everyone does bad things in their life or has bad viewpoints, and I feel like, are you supposed to look at the good things people do or the bad things? Like, the Yawkey Charitable Trust has donated $450 million to charity. And the thing we don't like about Tom Yawkey is there's some ideas that maybe he was the last one to integrate, but the extent of his racism isn't really known. There's varying viewpoints on that. So I just think it's a little ridiculous to strip his name off the street all the good.
And it always kicks to the foundation after, and that's the main argument that you always hear about, and this is well past him and his family. I think it's pretty documented as to the type of man that he was. But I thought, Hardy, you brought up a good point last week. If you're of our age and you've been around here forever and that's yucky way to you, I think it's going to take time for people to eventually get on to the Jersey Street name of what it originally was. And maybe 10 years from now, that'll be the common street name. But I don't think like you're going to show up there next week and say, oh, I'm going to meet you on wait a minute, it's not yucky way anymore. We'll meet you on Jersey Street, the corner of Jersey and whatever.
Earlier this morning, talking to Radzik, he was talking about a time when he dropped his kids off at a concert at Great Woods. It's no disrespect to Xfinity Center.
To me, it's Great Woods.
The Tweeter or Comcast Center or whatever else. It's one of those things in your head. And I don't know how many people say Yawkey anyway. Whoever says they're going down to Yawkey Way.
I drive the kids past Foxborough. Hey, kids, we're going to CMG. No, oh, no.
You're going to Fenway.
Sorry, not CMG, I feel.
You're going to Fenway. This isn't even as big a deal.
Jersey Street. I just want to know, is it going to be 4 Jersey Street or is it going back to 24 Jersey Street? Because the original address of Fenway Park, I believe, was 24 Jersey Street.
That's what it should be then.
Well, it can't mess with the addresses of what's over on David Ortiz Way. You know, you have to take that into consideration.
What about
too.
David Ortiz Bridge?
David Ortiz Terrace?
Oh! David Ortiz Sports Bar?
David Ortiz Place.
Well, David Ortiz did a whole lot more winning than Tom Yawkey ever did.
So. Aha!
Give him the street name. 617.
And the bridge.
Yeah, give him a bridge.
Give him the team.
617-779-0985. Coming up at 12:50, The Sounds of Sunday, a special off-season edition of The Sounds of Sunday from draft weekend in the NFL. Some really good stuff. We'll get to that coming up and more of your calls.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Game 2 in Tampa tonight between the Bruins and the Lightning. Bruins took Game 1 on Saturday tonight. Coach Bruce Cassidy says David Krejci and Kevin Miller look like they're going to be all right. We'll find out on the Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show, 6:30. Judd Zerot, Bob Beers, right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Celtics also in action tonight. They're home to take on the Philadelphia 76ers. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell will have that call on 100.7 WZLX. Tip off just after 8 o'clock. Red Sox homestand continues tonight after they did get a win yesterday over the Rays. The salvage game out of that three-game set. A new three-game series with the Royals begins tonight. Eduardo Rodriguez to the mound opposite Jason Hamill. Your headlines are brought to you by D'Amico Dental Care in Watertown. Tony Maz's dentist, who utilizes 3D technology to replace broken or missing teeth. If you need a dental implant, visit DomicoDMD.com today. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of meat.
Beetle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Right of the net now. Pastrnak walks in. Centered. Fired. They score! Pastrnak sent it to the bottom of the left swing circle for Bergeron. This puck may have either changed directions or been a changeup because it squeezes inside the near post and the Bruins with a 2-0 lead. Near point, Chara, far circle now. McAvoy, Bergeron healed a one-timer that was easily steered aside by Vasilevsky. High slot held in by McAvoy. Shoots! They score! Charlie McAvoy with a low blast. Brad Marchand out in front, able to tip it home, and the Bruins with a 4-2 lead here in Tampa.
Woo! Bruins! Yeah!
Great win on Saturday for your Boston Bruins. Hell of an afternoon of hockey. It felt like that game, by the way, should have been about, I don't know, 10-2 Bruins.
Yeah, that's the way it felt watching it.
10-1 Bruins.
Totally in control.
The Lightning are lucky that they only lost 6-2 in that game. They're lucky, because that was an ass-kicking.
Okay, one of our favorite listeners, Sean in Chicago. Former hockey player, by the way. Good hockey guy. Good hockey, but big hockey fan. Reads a lot on hockey.
Big fan. Big hockey fan.
He said, be careful about the goalie pulling stuff, guys. Read a couple articles where coaches seem to not pull the goalie early enough. That if you get down, it's like the old Ernie Adams thing. Here's your chart. here's what we're up against. Here's the time period. Pull the guy now. Get a quick one. Find a way to get a quick one. But that's how they screwed it up. You're on the power play, right? Get another man advantage. Pull the sucker there. Get him in there. Get your quick one. Then get his ass back on the ice and see if you can get still another one in the next 2 minutes. And then you pull him for the final two. But that maybe the percentages were showing to pull the goalie there. I just seemed like a panic move. It didn't seem like anybody knew what the hell was going on.
I could see the end of the power play, you know what I mean? Maybe. But the beginning, if you do it the whole power play, the team has free icing.
Right.
You know, you could just send it down anytime you want.
Yeah. Yeah, but maybe the last minute of it, you're right. Yeah.
It was like 30 seconds, right?
Yeah. I don't know, it was just odd.
Is that like onside kicking too early in the game, going for it on fourth down?
I don't know, what do you mean?
Overthinking it. Like that. He's overthinking it.
Yeah, 14-point lead, little pooch kick. Nate Ebner, yeah, that's a little overthinking it, I'd think.
Overthinking it.
Yeah.
It's totally what happened. The officiating in the game was garbage, may we add. Hot garbage.
Let me ask you this.
Including a goal being taken off for a penalty for a cross-check.
Yeah, another bad call.
I'll tell you what. I don't think it's listen, do you want that to be called? No. Has it been called more regularly for a penalty of that level? Yes, because the NHL has the thing about head contact like every other sport now.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. That is becoming a pretty regular penalty for that level of offense, if you will.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And based on how the top two lines played, too, you know, big bounce back game for them. You know, people getting critical of them as they were getting critical of Tuca. Seems like the entire game, Marchand was getting away with anything he wanted to do. Is that a good thing or bad thing moving forward? Meaning, do you think they're going to ref the entire series like that? Is he going to get, think he's going to get away with something, get caught on something, and we're going to end up getting screwed by it? And then the series is going to tighten up. It was just constant, man.
He's going to get a little too comfortable?
That's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, just he's going
to.
It just seems like he's the type of guy that carries it to the next level. I'm one of those. You know, when you're given an inch, you're going to take a foot.
There was a report last week that Marchand had been asked to stop licking other players.
Well, he stopped licking, but it's like. Seems like he's
still. Been debunked. The league did not ask him that. The league said they didn't, and Marchand said they didn't either.
But Cassidy was asked about it. He was on Toucher and Rich, and his answer indicated like maybe they had asked him or said something to him. So
I'm sure it's talked about.
Maybe they didn't specifically say to Brad Marchand stop licking players, but maybe they just said, you know, maybe cut down on the foolishness there.
It's not like it was John Randall screaming your mother's name out and saying he's going to eat your thirdborn. Yeah, that's a little freaky. Whack nut. Rather get my neck licked.
The Marchand went like full conspiracy Toronto media, NHL media thing. About Toronto like controlling the media. The league office controlling the Toronto media. He did not like that assertion at all.
He doesn't like anything. What does he like? He doesn't like anything. I also like how John Cooper admitted that he likes Brad Marchand. After, you know, having him at the All-Star game. How he expected to hate him. And now he doesn't. He doesn't hate him. Offered up praise of Brad Marchand before the series started. He wants to not like Brad Marchand, but he then met Brad and likes him. Bit of a problem. Bit of a conundrum for him.
Yeah, the fans hate him, but he likes him.
Yeah.
He also thought his team was just fine. After the game, team was just fine. You know what? They just had like 7 scoring opportunities, and they happened to just cash them all in.
That's what he said?
Yeah, we may have to play some of him in the 1 o'clock hour.
Yeah. And say they drop one tonight. Is he gonna look excited to get up there and get some clam chowder?
You know, that could also be knowing your team, though, too, and knowing that we're not going to panic. We're just going to put it behind us and be done with it.
Maybe he has to do that because based on how the matchup's gone with them the entire year. Maybe he knows it's a bad matchup, and I need to tell these guys to relax. Like, we're okay.
Right. If it's in their brain,
coach's gamesmanship.
Then it's smart for the coach to say, no, we did everything we wanted to do today.
Yeah, he was there for 2.5, just 3 hours.
Give me some John Cooper. Give me Coop.
That game wasn't close.
Coop.
Some of those goals, all of those goals, is it coverage issues in the defensive zone? I mean, like, Johnson loses Marchand. gets a deflection from the net.
Answering your own question.
But, I mean, was that the issue all night defensively? Because they didn't get a ton of chances.
No, they didn't. They scored in pretty much everyone they had. That's it. So, and you can't pin it in the goaltender, for me. The first one is kind of seeing ice single that hit how many bodies on the way in. I can't even remember who got their second one for. Who got their second one?
Many.
I mean, but again, we were. That was just. They'd been in their end for quite a bit. They come down, and I think it hit McDonough, and he was hurt, so we didn't recover. But we. That was. We just played it poorly. The end of a power play, and it's a good shot by Nash. The next one, Marchand, that's, again, comes down to coverage. And I don't know if it was a coverage. It was, we have to raise the battle level in the defensive zone. And for all the battle level we had in the offensive zone, if we turn that in the defensive zone for some of those plays, maybe they don't go in.
Battle level, BL-10. He's looking for a BL-10.
Did he say Marchand? Oh, you dropped a Marchand on us there.
Marchand. Huh. Marchmont.
He's washing away all the goal. Oh, well, this happened because of this. This happened because of this. You scored your second goal because the goalie didn't have a blade in his skate.
Right. Not only that, the Bruins were so much better at getting traffic in front of the net and creating opportunity. Give me a break. That guy is whistling past the graveyard right there is what he's doing. Come on. They didn't have very many chances. They didn't really do
much. Were the Maple Leafs that much more faster than this team?
They just got like six chances, and they just scored on all of them.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say that's a problem? Say there were only six chances in the game. Wouldn't you say that's a bit of a problem that you allowed them to score on all of them? I would say so. Your thoughts on the Bruins, your thoughts on the Celtics, and Sounds of Sunday from an NFL draft weekend coming up next.
Zoe and the Beatles. Sports Hub. Thinking your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub. 98.5 The Sports Hub presents Zolak and Bertrand's Sounds of Sunday.
Listen everybody to the Sounds of Sunday. So we'll be playing for you every Monday. Thank you Derek Green for bringing all those Sundays. Now it's time to listen to the Sounds of Sunday beat.
Mexico, take that! The Jets of Florida.
Yeah. Shouting out Mexico, South Florida, all kinds of stuff.
Well, it's Mexican week. We were down in Mexico City.
Well, we
playing the Raiders.
Thought that too, but we actually had
a Spanish-themed
Sounds of Sunday song for that week. So,
arriba.
Not really sure.
All right.
You boys ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Right, ba-da-ba-ba.
Oh, it feels so good. Where you been?
In the pocket.
In the pocket. Here we go.
Hey!
Right here. Oh.
We're back.
That's tight.
She said,
Just like old times.
We begin with Bob Soucy, who I believe is in the building.
So, he's here, dressed very nicely. He's having a meeting with the good people from Bigelow Tea.
Oh.
Bigelow Take care of Bob's voice. Doing the play-by-play. They don't care about mine.
And tease proudly. Bigelow Tea.
Yep.
Well, Soucy was talking.
Make Bigelow Tea a part of your game day routine.
Sure. Why not?
As we like to say.
Absolutely.
I love
each and every
Bigelow
Sunday.
Tea.
Sure do. Bob loves when he gets his tea bags.
Tea proudly.
We start with
you
Bob.
How to do that, huh?
Yeah. I mean,
you're like a child.
I know with the client in the building. Talking with new Potts linebacker coach.
Potts?
Christian Sam, excuse me, new linebacker, not the coach, the actual new, brand new linebacker.
I was like, whoa, when they get a new coach?
Sam.
Christian Sam on a conference call.
It's Plum Chowder up there.
How would you describe your relationship with Coach Graham?
Whoa!
See, now I think he's trying to am it up a little bit. Now
that was intentional.
We made him self-conscious.
Yeah, he really accentuated that.
How would you describe your relationship with Coach Graham?
Nah, see how long he did.
Graham.
He's trolling us.
He is.
You see how long it took him to say. You hear that? How long it took to get that name out?
Sneaky
Graham.
Trolling us. He's sneaky trolling us.
He is trolling us.
How would you describe your relationship with Coach Graham?
Oh my God!
He's absolute.
That little cocky devil,
Graham.
He calls a couple Super Bowls, and now he just messes with the midday show.
So proper pronunciation is Grom.
Grom.
Coach Grom. Sam.
Do we play the Roms this year?
No. So the fans got to announce some of the picks. You know about this. Some of the late round picks were announced by fans of teams. So here's a Chargers fan.
Oh, I saw this one live. This is great.
Making a pick. I did not see it live, but I do know what happens here.
Now you're right.
If with the 251st pick in the 2018 NFL draft, the Los always in my heart San Diego Chargers select.
Whoops.
Always in my heart, San Diego.
He started to say Los Angeles.
Remember in the movie Black Sheep when Chris Farley's on stage? And he goes, kill Whitey! And they're like, no. They put this guy up there to do the pick. And he's like all the L.A. people are like, no, San Diego, you can't say that.
I never saw Black Sheep.
What?
I know.
I saw Black Sheep when it came out.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever went back to it.
Tommy Boy.
I've seen 100 times.
Black Sheep, I watch it like once a month. Oh, my God.
Dallas, always in my heart, San Diego Chargers select.
What?
Justin Jackson, running back, Northwestern.
Western?
Western.
That? Is that a
Northwestern.
Hey.
And Cowboy fans, Ben de la Vela will see you in the Super Bowl for the puro Chargers, carnal.
I think there's a bad word in there.
Is there?
Yeah, we're not allowed to say that.
What is it? I don't even know what it is.
Can we do the...
Puro Chargers! We'll see you in the Super Bowl!
All right.
That's cue the music. Yeah, give them the wrap it up box there.
That went well.
Right?
That was a good idea. Former players also announced some of the picks for the teams. Vince Young made a pick for the Titans. Here he is.
Please welcome from the University of Texas at Austin, quarterback Vince Young.
Yeah. Hook 'em horns. Tighten up, baby. Tighten up. With the 41st pick in the 2018 NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans select Honor Landry from Boston College.
He's probably honored to be there, representing the great University of Texas at Austin.
Yeah, only problem with that is that the guy's name is Harold.
Harold.
Well, not honor.
Okay.
So he made it through 4 years at Texas, huh? He could play.
Let's go to Eagles kicker here.
This is my favorite part of this entire weekend of other people announcing the picks.
This is great.
This is awesome.
Former Eagles kicker David Akers announced the Eagles pick. Here we go.
Kicker David Akers.
What's up, Dallas?
Kicker's trolling the Cowboys.
Last year. I like standing up here before you as an undrafted free agent representing that shield for 15 years. Tonight, representing the Philadelphia Eagles, NFC East champs, divisional champs, NFC champs, and world champs, the world champs. Hey, Dallas, the last time you were in the Super Bowl, these draft picks weren't born.
Best line in there.
Wow.
Oh, it's the best line going.
Who was the Cowboys guy that was trolling the crowd? I remember like 2 years ago when it was in Philly. I thought there was a Cowboys. I don't know if it was like Drew Pearson or someone. Once some old cowboy trolled the Philly fans. It was Pearson. Thank you. You're just getting a little getting paid back, man.
Tonight, we are welcome into the Eagles.
Look at Doug Pearson.
With the 49th pick in the 2018 draft, the NFL would like to represent the Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas Goedert.
Cherry on top. And we also just drafted a guy named Dallas. Thank you very much, Dallas.
Your face.
Peace out. Yeah. Your owner sucks. Your team sucks. You guys haven't been to a Super Bowl in these guys' lifetime.
You got a nice stadium.
Peace. And by the way, I'm a kicker, and I just shoved it in your face.
He's a tight end from South Dakota State. Go Birds!
Go Birds! That would have only been topped with double Freedom Rockets to walk off the stage. Yeah!
What security should have done is, you know, they escort him backstage and then they get him out of the building and out. They should have just opened up the crowd in the front and said, you got to go through the crowd to exit the stage.
The draft needs more of this, by the
yes.
way.
Yes.
More
this
of
is good.
This.
It's good theater.
This is badass.
You want that or you want
go in there and start poking the bear. Go in there and agitate the fans who are in the building.
All right, we got a two-parter to end this here. So, Good Morning Football host, former Lion Nate Burleson made the pick for Detroit. It sounded like this.
Nate Burleson.
How's everybody doing?
Ooh. Oh, boy.
There we go.
Yeah!
Good evening, football.
Had to make sure I got the right car.
Oh,
don't want to fall for the banana in the tailpipe. Now listen.
You're not going to fall for any banana in the tailpipe?
Is he going to do a routine here?
All jokes aside.
That was a joke?
They say that Dallas is the home of America's team.
Is he going to make a case for the Lions being America's team? Where is he going with this?
I think he's going to kiss their ass about what a great week he had.
By the way, Beverly's cop did come from Detroit, right?
Axel Foley.
Well, if that's the case,
Foley.
If that is the case, Detroit is the home of America's heartbeat. Now listen to me.
No. I'd rather go to the headlines.
What?
I'd rather go to the pub headlines.
You know something?
Freaking Detroit people.
How'd you get here?
Car.
To work today. You're welcome. Shut up.
Listen to me.
Nice GM car too.
Just busted out here.
This pick right here.
Chevy.
Is dedicated.
Chrysler.
To the men and women of Michigan. I'm talking about the no days off.
Real no days off, yes.
Lunch pail packing.
Real lunch pails, yes.
Lunch pail packing.
Wearing.
Yes, a lot of hard hats.
Uh-huh. Assembly line working.
Got it. Blue collar hands that helped build this country.
That's right.
I think of Rudy's brothers and his dad, like, you know, I was watching that movie, Rudy, and they're pouring all this whole molten steel and steam plant. Those are the hard words.
No, there's like one of those in that whole
state. Eat lunch, and they're
Detroit's
paper bag.
Michigan's full of them.
Sucking some butts.
Michigan, Detroit, I salute you. And with all that said, with the 43rd pick in the 2018 NFL Draft,
who did he announce? You want to do it next, Jim? You want to do it right now?
Do it right now. Come on.
All right. This pick came after a trade with the Patriots, mind you.
Oh.
So Jones is watching this live on the air. Adam Jones. Okay?
To announce the Detroit Lions selection, please welcome.
Hold on. Here we go.
To announce the Detroit Lions selection, please welcome. From the University of Nevada, wide receiver, Nate Burleson.
Yeah, he did that.
How's everybody doing?
Oh, boy.
There we go.
Yeah!
Good evening, football.
Had to make sure I got the right car.
Football.
Don't want to fall for the banana in the tailpipe.
Go!
It's like deja vu.
Here's where Jones starts.
This is Jones yelling live over the pick.
Starts to lose it.
Burleson.
Pick!
Nate Burleson's shot. Idiot.
They say that Dallas is the home of America's team.
Cut him off. Cut him off. I don't want to do the same. We're not waiting for your stupid pick, Lions. We were just, I wanted to hear Goodell. I wanted to hear Goodell say, hey, the Patriots are traded out of the pick. I don't want to hear Nate Burleson doing his Good Morning Football shtick. I don't want to hear that. Hey, we're just the morning show.
Kate Adams, the guy from Days of Our Lives, up here. Let's do this.
We're just talking about football. Good morning, football. We're fresh. We're fun. No edge. We're not going to push any buttons. We're not going to be too serious in here. We're just going to hang out. We're going to have some coffee. We're going to talk football. Shut up, Nate Burleson! Shut up! You're up there to hold the card, make the... Is he still going?
He has not made the pick yet. I'm listening.
He hasn't gone!
He's still talking.
Jesus! What are we doing?
We're talking about the heartbeat of America, Jones.
Talking about, you know, Henry Ford. Detroit.
When did he become Nate Burleson?
Jones just jealous because he's from Vermont, which is known as the Vermont of America.
This was at the end of a 17-minute really? Segment where the Patriots had traded down already. They're trading down again.
They tap the maple trees and pull out the syrup.
He just wants the Patriots to make a pick on his show.
This is Jones' sweet spot. Like he like waited the entire month for this.
Pick any region of any country that's really not known for anything.
Delaware.
Just kind of there. You just kind of have to deal with. They refer to that as, oh, that's the Vermont of Italy. Which just nobody ever really goes there or like, thinks about it ever.
Green mountains.
Yeah, green it's the mountains. It's the Vermont.
Oh, there's trees on the mountain. You don't say.
Hey, when we're in Spain, should we go to so-and-so? No, that's like the Vermont of Spain. There's no reason to go there. That's why Jones is upset.
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. He's mad at Good Morning Football.
He's really upset.
He doesn't like Good Morning Football. Oh, nobody really likes Good Morning Football.
All right.
You know what I
That's
do
it.
Like? I like their jingle. I like their little their commercial. He's coming down the hall, and it's got an upbeat vibe to it. I dig the commercial.
Oh, okay. Fourth and final hour is on the way.
Yep.
Here on Zolak and Bertrand. It begins in 90 seconds.
Jesus. What are we doing?